Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Okay. 1 hour until it's Friday. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Taking your calls. Talking sports. In the greatest city in the world with the greatest fans in the world, and the NHL trade deadline is upon us. I just saw that the Devils won't be practicing tomorrow as they get ready for the trade deadline. Let's take another Devils call as we get ready for my Casamigos big shot of the night. Spoiler alert, I think you know who it is if you watch the Devils tonight. Josh is out in Passaic. Josh, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. So first, this, you know, getting more of the, forget the Devils, more, you know, the BS for Ben Simmons tonight. And Keith, you saw this with Russell Wilson, right? The Broncos just didn't want any part of him, and they cut him. Why don't the Nets just even just take that damn money? Why is he still on this roster?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I tried to justify it and figure it out. I'm like, maybe there's some type of Aussie connection. Ben Simmons being from Australia, Sean Marks being from New Zealand. I have no idea why they wouldn't just buy this guy out, just release him, just be done with him. Like, it's such a disgrace. But I guarantee you, right, they shut him down for this year, and it's the same cycle with Ben Simmons. The summer's going to come, you're going to see a shirtless video of him dribbling, shooting, and then they're going to say, oh, Ben Simmons is coming back, and he's going to be good for training camp, and then they're going to plan around him, and then he's going to start playing a little bit, and he's going to be shut down, and it's going to be another season. I don't know why anybody in the world would do that again.
Right. And listen, with the Devils, kids, I do not want them to trade any players at all, right? It's one thing if you're a team, let's say, like the Giants this season, right? You're not really a threat, like, you know, even for the next few seasons, or like the Nets this year. But, like, the Devils are going to be good next year, so why trade a player, even like Ty Toffoli? If you could re-sign him next year, why lose that opportunity?
Man, I don't know. There's things going on behind the scenes. I think he was a great addition to the team this year, but there's some stuff going on with the Devils, obviously firing the coach and then having the interim coach and you know, him asking for complete control of the lines and who plays and who sits. And they're going to see if they can get value for him. I don't know. Maybe they can't. That's the thing, right? He was scratched tonight. You're kind of trying to protect an asset. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. But maybe they don't get what they want for him. Maybe they keep him. He's a good player. And I think the Devils got to make a push here, man. I was looking at, you know, the post-game stuff. They know. They know. This is it. This is the run if they think that they're going to make the playoffs. They got to really win more games than they lose, but by like a really large margin. They got to win at like a 700, 800 clip.
Right, and just like you see a lot of these games, you know, the Devils aren't playing like, you know, like better teams. If they're not playing, let's say, the Hurricanes, they're not playing the Lightning or the Rangers. They have so many opportunities. Right, we'll see that game, but they have so many opportunities. Like that first period tonight, like how many times do they have that chance to score? So, like, I honestly think, you know, like saying, you know, number one's in the random categories, I think the number one team in, like, probably opportunities that they have versus mediocre teams. It's insane. And
it can change.
You them get in. That's just what they got to concentrate more of, that they have so many of these opportunities, these breakaways, these turns, these open shots.
Let's hope this is the turning point. They had a little bit of a losing streak. From the games I've watched, just like you, they almost never score first. The power play hasn't been effective. Let's hope it's changing now. They have a new voice, and I think those guys behind the scenes that might have grown tired of Lindy Ruff now can step up and say some things. Travis Green, he's got the opportunity to try and get these guys right. Here come the Hurricanes. Here come the Rangers, the Stars, like the Golden Knights. Like, this this month of March is going to be make or break for the Devils, and they could break before we even get to March 21st.
And then Jackie's also, you know, reminded us playing with that power play, why the puck should always be in his hands. He's just a fun guy to watch. Makes, you know, the full lap around. The little
look like Jack Hughes. That's what I was saying for a while. Like, where's he been at? Was he anti-Lindy Ruff? Was he, like, because once he came back, man, it was just, like, a lot of talk. Obviously, that first Kings game, not the one this past Sunday, where, you know, he had the quote, like, oh, people pay to watch me play, and a lot of people made a lot about that. And it's like, yeah, Jack, you're a very talented young player, but show it. Put the puck in the net. Get some assists. Like, the way he started off this season, like, how quickly he got to 20 points, he was having a historic start. We need him to get back to that if they think they're going anywhere.
And he definitely was frustrated then with that video of him breaking his stick and throwing it on the ice. And then with the Mets, Keith, with Fujinao, whatever his name is, I mean, if he could turn into a great reliever, he was much better in the second part of last year. If you could have him and Diaz going back-to-back innings, it could look pretty good for the Mets.
What have I been saying, man? If they get a lead, their bullpen's not going to blow it as often as they did last year. And if you get a lead and you get to the seventh, eighth inning, now you've got Shintaro Fujinami and obviously Edwin Diaz, Sugar Diaz coming back. They should be able to steal some games. And I know the big bad Braves and the Phillies are what we think they are, but like, baseball isn't like that. We can't predict anything in baseball. There could be just a slow start for the Braves or Phillies, and with low expectations, the Mets just, I don't know. I think they're gonna succeed more than they fail because the bar is set so low.
And just keep those up to memory, you know, they are the Mets, so like, I don't trust them not to believe until they show me they can, but hopefully it'll look good. Keith, thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Yeah, maybe, Josh. Thanks for the call. We'll get there in 3 weeks, and we'll be here on The Fan every night to talk about what happens with the Mets and the Yankees.
Wakanda! Welcome!
Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is obviously Timo time. Timo Meyer. Timo Meyer goes out and has his first hattie as a Devil tonight in Newark. Helps get Travis Green his first win as interim head coach. And the Devils snap their 3-game losing streak. It's his 5th career hat trick. The Devils fans all throw their hats onto the ice. Some of them probably got their hats back. But Timo goes out there. He adds an assist. He ends up with 4 points tonight. He had 6 goals during a 4-game goal streak and 9 points, 6 goals, 3 assists, and a 5-game point streak. And if the Devils are going to make a run, they need that guy to play tough. They traded for him last year, and here comes the next trade deadline. Let's see what happens tomorrow. 877-337-6666 and 2 more 6s if you like to talk sports, if you got something you want to say on The Fan. It's wide open. Now, I started to sprinkle some crumbs for my Yankee fans because I know Yankee fans can't wait to talk about the Yankees. The prospects, spring training, Juan Soto, Austin Wells showed himself tonight. Oswald Peraza is probably going to be shut down. Here comes the spring breakout game. They released the Yankees roster for that. We'll talk all about it. Let's go to Riley and Tom's River next up on The Fan.
Hi, Keith. Thanks so much for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling in.
I'm in Florida right now on spring break, driving back from the Yankee game.
Oh, nice.
And I would say some of these prospects look really awesome. Like Anthony Volpe looked really great tonight. I know he's not a prospect, but Austin Wells was awesome. Emerson Perez looked really good. And I think they have some really exciting prospects. I'm not worried too much about Oswald Peraza, but after last season and how terrible it was last season, I don't even want to worry about anything. I think having two of the best hitters in baseball hitting back-to-back and Gerrit Cole, like, I think the Yankees are going to be all right. I think this season is going to be really awesome.
Yeah, they better be better than all right, and hope springs eternal. That's why you go down to spring training, so you can see it with your own eyes. That's why you go to the game and the workouts, and you get a look at these guys, and they don't have names on the back of their jerseys. Some of them are wearing high numbers like wide receivers, but people start talking, and they're like, oh, that's this guy, that's that guy, Everson Pereira or Ben Rice or Yorbit Vivas, and you start to see some of the young talent, some of the future of the Yankees, and it makes you feel good about the fact that, like, these kids are on the way. You know, you mentioned Volpe. I think Volpe's going to have a bigger year than he had last year, a better year than he had last year. He's still only 22 years old. You know, Jason Dominguez, who we saw a small amount of last year, he's on the fast track to return. Everybody's talking about Spencer Jones. He's going to start the year in AAA as he should, but it's good to know that we have him waiting in the wings when Alex Verdugo leaves next year, or if the other guy, I'm not even going to say his name, leaves next year. So I'm glad you're down there. I'm glad you're getting to see these young guys up close and personal. Tell me, you know, one thing that stood out from one of the Yankees that everybody knows, whether it's Glaber or Judge or Rizzo or DJ or one of the arms, whether it's Cole, Rodon. Like, tell me something you saw from one of the usual suspects down there.
Well, I went to the game on Sunday, too, which Nestor Cortez pitched, and he looks a lot like he did, you know, prior to his injury and the year before. I think everyone says, you know, Rodon's a big piece for the rotation, but I think Cortez is just as big a piece, and he looks a lot like, you know, the Cortez we're used to.
Nasty Nestor. I've been saying to people, I mean, obviously I'm biased because I've had Nestor on the fan. Nestor reached out to me, said him and his wife listen to my show, so I was able to become friendly with him and run into him at the All-Star game and some other places. And I texted him back in February to see if he would be at the Pinstripe Pride event. And he said, no, he's locked in. He had been going to the training complex down there in Tampa pretty much all winter. He was flying from Hialeah, from Miami to Tampa, and spending time working out there so he could get his shoulder right. And I think people are sleeping on Nestor. I hear calls all the time about Nestor. Oh, I don't know what he is. We don't know if he's going to turn into a pumpkin. We don't know if he can be an all-star like he was. He's too much of a question mark. No, I think Nestor Cortez is a veteran, and I think he's crafty. And I think Nestor, when he gets on that mound and everybody shows up with the mustaches for Nestor night, it's a fun time in the Bronx, and he wants to get back to that. He's got something to prove because he missed so much time last year.
Yeah, I think the rotation, even if Rodon is not what they expect him to be, I think the rotation, like Clark Schmidt, is just as good as he was last year. I think Stroman and the energy he's going to bring, I think he's going to be a big piece of the rotation. And, you know, Cole's just as solid as ever. So I don't think there needs to be as much pressure on Rodon, because I think they have a really solid rotation this year. And I think the offense is going to put up a lot of runs, and so the bullpen's not going to be taxed as much either.
Yeah, I'm not reading into the home runs that Rodon has given up in spring training. I'm not reading into fans saying, oh, Rodon sucks. It's spring training. It's practice. It's exhibition. Is he healthy? Is he going to start the season healthy this year? I think if he starts the season healthy this year, he's going to rev it up when he actually gets in a regular game. He's going to pitch well. He's going to find his spots. Do I expect him to be dominant? No. Do I expect him to be what they're paying him to be? No. But I don't expect him to be a bum.
Yeah. I think everyone else around him is going to take a lot of the pressure off, and I think it's going to take a lot of the pressure off Cole, too. They're a lot more balanced than they were last year.
It's a team. And you know what I've been saying, Riley? Last year, they couldn't score but three runs. So this year, right, if everybody wants to act like the pitching is the problem, the hitting won't be. If they got to win games 9-8, then win them 9-8.
Yeah. I think that Soto just completely changes the lineup, too. Like, I heard Volpe say this the other day. He was mic'd up on ESPN. He said, you know, Soto's so great, he's just going to make everyone else around him want to be just as great. And I think that the offensive problems from last year are, like, that's not even going to be an issue this year. They got a lot more lefties in the lineup, so they're going to be a lot more balanced that way.
Yeah.
And everyone else is going to get – they're going to see more pitches, because you're going to have to get through Verdugo, Soto, and Judge just to get to the rest of the lineup. That's a lot to ask of a starting pitcher.
Yeah, high tide raises all ships, and there's so much hype and energy around Juan Soto. No pitcher is going to want to have to face him and Judge back-to-back, so walk him. And then Rizzo will get the opportunity to hit. And then Glaber will get the opportunity to hit. And don't forget about the MVP from 2017, the National League MVP that Giancarlo Stanton was. He's got something to prove, too, this year, and I think he'll get hot at some point. And the Yankees have a balanced lineup, and they have a lineup that could really tear it up. So I just hope these guys stay healthy. We've got 3 weeks until the season starts. Enjoy the rest of your time down there. Drive safe. Thanks for calling into my show.
Thanks so much, Keith. Have a good night.
877-337-6666. Yankee fans, weigh in. I know we are the most spoiled fan base. I know we're super pessimistic, but now is not the time for that. Optimism. We're 3 weeks away from anybody talking about 82-80 on my show. I'm going to be like, no. Either we're 0-1 or 1-0 in 3 weeks. 82-80 is in the past. Get it out of your mind. I used to get on and I would be like, 3 is the magic number, trolling the Yankees because they couldn't score more than 3 runs. That's over, bros. They might score 3 runs in the first inning.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yes, sir. Plenty more to do. I'm on till 2 a.m. Your boy Cam, the nighttime guy. CM's the overnight guy. He'll be on next. And yeah, we're both Yankee fans, but we're in this together, Mets fans. LGYM, let's go Yankee Mets. There's just too many former Yankees over there for me to hate on these Mets. These are my Mets. I never cared about the Mets this much. I never watched the Mets this much. I never known this much about the Mets. You know who my favorite Met is? Francisco Alvarez. One night I was doing a show and I was talking about Pete Alonso and I'm like, what if Francisco Alvarez out-homers Pete Alonso? How would that make you feel? I'd be fine with that. Why is Francisco Alvarez my favorite Met? I think he's the best player on the team. I think potentially he's going to be. He's young right now. The book is still out on him. But I think like what I've seen from him, so I always talk about how I go to the All-Star game. I went to the All-Star game in L.A. now 2 years ago, and I saw him in the Futures game. And just the way that the kid carries himself, I'm like, pelotero, ball player, he's one of them ones. And now you're starting to hear more about him behind the plate. And last year, which I thought this was odd, and I knew something was up, you know, they didn't give him the nod right away. You had guys like Omar Narvaez and Tomas Nito. And I think Buck Showalter being very old school and giving veterans the nod first wasn't really trying to let this young man rock. And they tried to paint a picture like he needed to develop behind the plate more. And then later in the season, veterans like Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander were singing his praises about how he calls a game, how he frames pitches, him behind the plate. And you're starting to hear more of that now. And obviously with Carlos Mendoza, they probably have a better connection. Just, you know, English is his first language. And same for Carlos Mendoza. And Carlos Mendoza being a little bit younger and being a first-time manager, looking at this young guy who's going to be a potential superstar, saying, hey, young man, it's yours. It's your spot. And I love that Francisco Alvarez tries to speak English. He knows he's going to be a star. Most of these young guys that know they're going to be stars, they take on the challenge of speaking English in their interviews, and he's made a ton of progress just in the last couple years, man. I root for that kid. That's my favorite Met, and I think he's going to have a big year. And there was a few things that I read coming out of spring training today where I'm like, how is that kid not the story? I know it's easy to do Yankees for clicks, Mets for clicks, LGYM, and talk about Juan Soto, but I'm sure there are people down there buzzing about Francisco Alvarez. I also saw Kodai Senga had a PRP shot. He won't throw for 3 weeks. Okay, fine. In 3 weeks, it's opening day. What if he throws opening day, the week of opening day, and he says, I feel all right. I feel better. And what if he's able to go, I don't know, in late April and not miss that much time? He's going to start the season on the IL, but I don't know if he's going to be lost for the whole season. I don't think he's going to be lost for the whole season. And I don't think he's going to be lost for multiple months. I think there's an optimistic approach that he could be ready in late April, May, if things go well with the next update. 877-337-6666. And what else was I going to say about the Mets? Oh, Trevor Bauer. You guys see Trevor Bauer signed with, let me get the name of this team, the Asian Breeze. Now, he only signed with the Asian Breeze to participate in a game coming up on March 10th. I saw a lot of people clowning him, and I clowned him first. Like, what? He's going back? Like, already giving up? Well, no. The reason that he's signing with this Asian team is because they will face the Los Angeles Dodgers on March 10th. Probably with the Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani hype. He's being crafty here. He's saying, okay, let me go face arguably the best lineup in baseball. And if I get through those guys, that's going to be a proving ground more so than me going up against Marty Mush from Barstool. 877-337-6666.
And that video did him no help, bro.
No, I went back and watched it, and I'm just like, I'm treating that like spring training. It's exhibition. It's for fun. It's not on a field. He's not in a uniform. He's not locked in that setting. It doesn't mean anything.
But some stiff who hasn't picked up a bat in how many years gets two project, you know, sim hits off him.
Good
and, like,
Marty.
Made contact like six, seven, eight
times. Did you see the video with Greg Weissert, former Yankee, pitching?
No.
There's another video where Marty gets a hit, a little single up the middle off of Greg Weissert.
Yeah, but that's Greg Weissert. That's a dude that, like, you know, is probably pitching
the pride
like
of
35
Fordham.
Games in relief, you know, long relief. This is Trevor Bauer, a guy who
won a Cy Young.
Exactly.
Literally was sitting right here where I am at the fan and said he thinks he's one of the top 15 pitchers right now in the world.
He's getting desperate, though. If he hasn't been signed yet, and, I mean, let's be honest, he ain't getting signed before Montgomery or before Blake Snell. Maybe the average annual value, he's cheaper, but people are signing Montgomery or Snell before they're signing him. He realizes, hey, maybe if I pitch against the Dodgers and do well and shove, like, maybe then I'll start getting some more looks. He's probably gotten nothing so far.
Yeah, he's definitely got nothing. I don't think anybody is going to – I don't think anyone's going to take a flyer on him right now. I don't think anyone's that desperate. The game is much bigger than Trevor Bauer. If you think about Trevor Bauer and his persona before all of this – he was doing the Conor McGregor walk. He was throwing the baseball out of the field through center field.
The sword.
Yeah, doing the sword. You know, he just had a bravado about him that people didn't like. So now he's joining the Asian Breeze a touring team of players, most likely or mostly players from the Asian minor leagues, because he will get a chance to pitch against the Dodgers. And I mean, that might not go so great. The top of their lineup is like Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman.
So this is the Asian breeze. It's like the Savannah Bananas of whatever country they're
yeah,
from.
Yeah, it might be.
I don't want to just say Asia, but I mean, that's what they're called.
Yeah, it might be. I've never heard of them.
They come out on stilts and with, you know, bats that are on fire and stuff like that, or are they like a legit team?
I think they're an actual traveling team. I would assume that it's because of Shohei and Yamamoto that this even got brokered. And watch, I'm going to be covering this all year for the people that care late at night when I'm on. Like, the amount of eyes, ears, attention, and really dollars that Yamamoto and Ohtani bring from that Japanese Asian market to the Dodgers, that is why they paid them $1 billion this offseason. They're making it all back.
The amount of MLB.TV subs they're getting in Japan is
the amount of jersey sales of the 17 and 18 jerseys.
It's enough to be a GDP for its own country, just the MLB.TV subscriptions.
Yeah, they're cashing out. So I'll mix in some more Mets things along with the Yankee things. We've got these stupid broken Nets out of the way. We spoke on the New Jersey Devils. And I think now as we go into the 12 o'clock hour, we'll talk baseball here. We'll reset after midnight. Let's go back to the phones. Alex is in Queens next up on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
What's up, Alex?
So I wanted to talk to you a little about the Rangers trade deadline.
Okay.
So do you think they're going to get, like, anyone else? Like, who do you think they're going to get? Who do you think they're going for?
So I read a report today that they supposedly turned down a trade from the Anaheim Ducks for Adam Henrique and Frank Vetrano, and I saw some buzz about that on Twitter. What I think is that they have such a good team, they have to go for it. And if they can add another piece here, I mean, I know they added Adam Wenberg, but if they can add another piece here, you kind of almost have to, because you don't want to have that regret that, hey, we were one move or two away from putting together a championship team for this run. The deadline is here for everyone to use, good, bad, buyers, sellers. I feel like the Rangers have to use it. I don't know exactly who they're going to target, but I think that they're going to make another move, yes.
Okay, and also I want to talk about, do you think the Yankees are getting anyone else's offseason, or you think they're just done and going into opening day with this lineup?
I think there's 3 weeks exactly left, and, you know, once the clock strikes 12, we're under 3 weeks. And I think with the reports about them being interested in Kike Hernandez as well as Amed Rosario, and now also with the report that Oswald Peraza is not healthy, they may be interested in signing another utility infielder. I don't know why they wouldn't have just signed Gio Urshela for $1.5 million. I think it's Cashman's pride and ego not wanting to double back. But I think that they may sign another utility infielder, somebody that can play second, third, shortstop. I don't know who that would be. I don't know who's out there. I'd have to take a look at, you know, free agents that are still hanging out there. And maybe they make a trade for another arm. Maybe that, you know, you can never have too much pitching. Maybe they do make a trade for another arm. Not an ace, but maybe another depth piece for either the rotation or the bullpen. Probably the bullpen.
Hey, thanks, Keith. I love the show. First time caller.
Awesome. Ding, 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 ding. Well, you got school tomorrow? You got to go to bed.
Yes.
Yeah, good. So I'm glad I got you in there before 12. Alex, thanks for the first time call. Get your rest. You young boys that stay up to listen to me, I appreciate it. But I don't want you guys falling asleep in class the next day, and then you get in trouble, and then your teacher reports that to your parents, and then I get in trouble because you're going to say, I was listening to KM to 2 a.m. I didn't want to go to sleep. I told you I went to sleep, Ma, but I was listening to the Fan. Let's go to Chris in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Chris, you got it. You're on.
Good evening, Keith. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Hanging out. Rewatching this Yankee game. I watched it earlier. And, you know, I'm going to sprinkle in some more Mets-Yankee stuff. We're about to be 3 weeks less away from opening day. It's time. I'm done with the basketball. We'll see what happens with the hockey. This is a baseball town. I really want to, you know, start leaning into baseball. I wish opening day was tomorrow.
Dude, I'm ready to lean into baseball. But are you telling me you're rewatching Yankees preseason baseball?
Yeah, I already know what's going to happen. I don't care. I'd rather watch than watch college. I'd rather watch that than watch, what was I watching before? Like UCLA, Arizona, like March Madness. I will get into March Madness Selection Sunday and research the teams and all that. I'd rather watch baseball. I just changed the channel. Now I'm watching Arizona State, I guess. Arizona State, USC.
I was just finishing up with work, and I was rewatching. Who were the Nets playing tonight?
The Detroit Pistons, one of the historically bad teams all time in the NBA. They lost.
Did they end up winning that game? I hope they did.
No, they lost. They lost.
They lost to the Pistons tonight. Jesus Christ.
Are you trolling me, Chris? That was my whole open about how broken the Nets are, how miserable this franchise is, how this is what they get for not actually having a plan and sticking to it. This is where they end up. It's an all-time bad run for the Brooklyn Nets this last year.
Oh, man, with the picks they gave up and then the whole Ben Simmons thing being out for the season, what are you going to do?
I thought we were talking baseball. Dumb button works. Let's see. He's still there? No? PB could possibly bring him back. See, sometimes we get on the radio, we have these conversations, we're talking like it's just you and me. Man, this radio station, live and through the Odyssey app and podcast, reaches 100,000 plus people. We can't drop F-bombs. I just was on the phone with young Alex. Young Alex, how old is young Alex, Pat? He's got to be under 15. We can't curse.
He was 12.
We got to clean it up. Let's see if Chris is still there, if we can bring him back. Actually, I'll put him on hold, and we'll bring Peter in Manhattan in. What's up, Peter? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Good evening. How are you?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I just thought you were talking about Barkley going to Philly and like an insult to the Giants. That reminds me of Clemens from Boston coming to the Yankees. But it worked out pretty well. I mean, there were some championships with them, et cetera.
Yeah, I was too young to really remember Boston Rocket. And it's a little different in baseball. One, the Yankees always end up having, former Red Sox, whether it's Stephen Drew, Jacoby Ellsbury, Kevin Youkilis, Wade Boggs, they've done that before.
Boggs also, yeah.
Andrew Benintendi. But in baseball, especially with a pitcher, you can dodge that guy. If Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles, you're going to see him twice, and he's going to get 20, 25 touches. I don't think he's actually going to do that, though.
Right, but you talk about Boggs just simply. When he was probably before your time, he sat out the last few games, so he can win the batting title over Mattingly. So that's just a history. But with Barkley, let me just dwell more into that. The Giants, I mean, they're unwatchable. I mean, without Barkley, they can't, it's going to be, they're probably going to get shut out.
He's their whole offense. So, like,
they'll probably get shut out, more often than not. So the question I have for you is, do you think there's a possibility of re-signing him? And if so, what price tag? In other words, so that's my question to you. And I hope they do, only so we can have some. We can watch the Giants. Otherwise, you can't watch the Giants. I mean, they have nothing.
Right. We're all this talk about Daniel Jones. What's Daniel Jones without Saquon? Thanks for the call, Peter. So, what did Saquon get? Like $11 million last year. I think there is a chance that they try to figure out some type of a 3-year deal. He's 27, so you get his 27, 28, 29, maybe even a 4-year deal to stretch it out. And they can finagle these things and have things where it's like, if you have 1,000 yards rushing, if you add another 800 yards receiving, if you become a Pro Bowler, if the team wins a playoff game, like, they have to put some incentives in there. But I think with the $30 million added to the payroll, with some of the money they'll have coming off, like, I don't know if Xavier McKinney, he's saying the right things. And we'll talk about Xavier McKinney in a second. Like, I don't know if he's coming back. Jonathan Taylor signed a contract with the Colts that was like, it wasn't crazy. Let me see if I can pull up his contract. I think they can work out something with Saquon. I'll say this because I know a bunch of more Giants fans are going to call, and now we're starting to talk baseball. I think that right now Saquon Barkley is trying to use a scare tactic with the Giants. He's not even available to sign yet with the Eagles, but we're already hearing rumblings the last 2 days of the Eagles, right? Howard Eskin, Spike Eskin's dad, reporting. He's Mr. Eagles sideline reporter, WIP. He's coming out there saying there's mutual interest. Of course there is, right? But, games are played. I'll say this. When I was at Roc Nation, Saquon's rookie year, I believe, 2018. And actually was familiar with his agent, Kim. And Roc Nation was, I think they were in charge of his contract. But Saquon ended up switching his like branding marketing deal to CAA or someone else. I think it was CAA. What I'm saying is this guy cares about his brand. He cares about New York. He wants to stay here. He's not going to just jump to sign with the Eagles or the Texans, but he is going to try to leverage them. And I think the Giants, looking at their situation, and maybe this plays out after the draft, I think the Giants can pay him more money. I think he's more valuable to them. I think they just went through this whole do-si-do last year, and they ended up giving him a little bit more money, and he came into camp and he didn't hold out, and that surprised a lot of us. So would I be surprised if he doesn't sign somewhere else and he's back with the Giants? No. I think that they know, hey, you're a free agent. We're not going to tag you. Go see what you can get on the open market. And if someone doesn't blow you away, which I honestly think, I just saw C.J. Stroud. Now I'm watching Arizona State, USC, and they just cut to C.J. Stroud in attendance. C.J. Stroud is out in L.A. I think that if you look up on SpotTrack, the Texans cap space, I mean, they brought in Devin Singletary last year after he was with the Bills. Man, I expect them to throw the bag at Saquon Barkley, but I don't expect Saquon Barkley to want to go live in Houston away from his wife and his daughter. I think he wants to stay right here. I think he wants to be a New York Giant. I think he wants to stay in New York because he understands when his career is over, he's a running back. The NFL stands for not for long. I think he might have another 3 to 5 years in him. And then what? I mean, we're in the era where now all these guys have podcasts. We're also in the era now, and I meant to mention this on air. We're also in the era now where, like, Cam Newton is calling out guys like Stephen A. Smith. He's saying, if I want to hear about basketball, I want Shaq to talk about basketball. I don't want to hear from Stephen A. Smith. We're also in the era now where Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, these guys are hooping and they're getting on the podcast with Donde DiVincenzo. They have their own platform. And I think more and more you're going to see these guys, these former athletes and current athletes, grabbing the mic and controlling the narrative. Another thing, I just saw Jay Will, White Chocolate, with his podcast going at Brian Windhorst, Windy from ESPN. Basically because Windy said that Allen Iverson and his you know, his lack of efficiency wouldn't be able to last in the NBA, and Jay Will took up for him. I'm like, yo, we are in an era where you can have a brand, a podcast. I think that Saquon's brand would take a huge hit by being a Philadelphia Eagle. I listened to Tiki Barber open up the show today. I listened to your calls on the afternoon show. I know a lot of you feel a certain type of way. Your kids wouldn't be fans. And think about the kids, right? I think it's the kids more so, not us in our 30s. I'm talking about the kids that are anywhere from 15 to 25, that like Saquon Barkley drafting him out of Penn State, seeing some of those highlights, him being their guy, he's their guy. This is their era, especially like as we get further away from 2011, and some of those kids don't remember Eli Manning in that run. They don't, you know, I hear people calling out, talking about Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs. Some of these younger kids, they're like, I don't connect with that. Saquon's my guy. He hasn't won anything, but that doesn't mean he'll never win anything. And when you look at this team, guys like Kayvon Thibodeau got on a podcast with Carmelo Anthony and said, felt like he should have been paid more than Daniel Jones. Long and short is I think that it's a scare tactic with the whole Eagles thing right now. I think that he's going to test the market, but I think ultimately he would take less to stay a Giant, and the Giants will have the flexibility, the cap space, to have some type of contract to sign him to like a 3, maybe 4 year deal. But I also understand the Giants saying, hey, we are at a crossroads here. We're going to draft a quarterback. We're in a rebuild. It makes no sense for us to pay a running back. It never made any sense to draft a running back number 2 overall. Right back at it on the Fan. Keith McPherson, if you didn't know that. Talking sports. You know the number? I think you know the number. So far, we've talked about Saquon Barkley and the New Jersey Devils. Timo Meier got my Casamigos big shot of the night. I'm looking at more of the hockey stuff. I just saw Andrew Filippone, who hosts out there on the Fan in Pittsburgh. He said, grade the trade. Jake Guentzel for Michael Bunting, two prospects, and a second-round pick. Our very own Paul Rosenberg just said, just a massive return for Kyle Dubas and the Pens. And this is just a rental to this point. Deadline at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Let's go. And yeah, to Carolina, Gunsel, Ty Smith, to Pittsburgh, Michael Bunting. And I'm not going to try and pronounce the rest of these names. And I'm not going to try and pretend like I know all these guys and what this means. But maybe you do. Maybe you're a Puck fan who right now is thinking about the deadline for the Rangers, the Isles, the Devils, and maybe you've got an opinion and something to say. I know you guys have opinions on Saquon. Now we have a bunch of calls for Saquon and, of course, Juan Soto. But let's try to bring Chris back in. We had a young man named Alex on who is only 12. And then Chris came in and we got to chatting about Ben Simmons and the Nets losing to the Pistons. And we forgot we were on the radio and I had to hit the dumb button. But here comes Chris from Bridgeport, Connecticut again. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Keith, and I own the dumb button for the night. I'd say that.
You're good.
I appreciate that, man. But I just want to say, I think Pete Alonso is a top five first baseman in the Major League Baseball.
Okay, hold on now. Freddie Freeman, Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Olson. I'm blanking.
Absolutely. And can I name the four first baseman in front of him that I believe.
Yeah, I just named three. Go ahead.
Well, I think Matt Olson, Freddie Freeman, two Atlanta Braves.
Are we counting Bryce Harper as a first baseman?
I mean, if you want to count them, you can count Yandy Diaz from the Rays, maybe.
I don't like Yandy Diaz. I don't know if he's better than Pete.
I don't know. I think his WAR might be better than Pete's.
Just 1 year.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Pete had his biggest down year this year. I think he had 217. Home runs weren't over 50 this year, I'd say. You know, I think he got banged up when he got hit by that pitch by an Atlanta Brave. I don't know who it was, but somebody hit him with a pitch in the wrist, and I don't think he was ever the
Charlie
same
Morin?
When he came back in June.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would put Pete at number 4 or 5. I give you that.
4 or 5. So do you think the Mets are going to pay him come the offseason?
I kind of don't. He's got to have a really good year. Steve Cohen did come out and say, I'm not tone deaf. I know what he means to the fan base. We want him here. But I think that they're already kind of making, like, I was reading an article about the kid, Gifford. I got to go find that article I was reading. I'm like, oh, they're already making contingency plans for this guy. But, like, I hope he stays. I think he could be the best Met of all time position player. I speak so highly of Pete, his character. I want him to stay here, but I just think that the money that he's looking for with Scott Boras, I don't know if the Mets are looking to do that. And, hey, if they're going to go get Juan Soto, are they also going to get Pete? Maybe. Who knows? None of us really know.
Well, that's what concerns me. I mean, we didn't re-sign Jose Diaz or Jose Reyes when we had the opportunity.
Jacob DeGrom.
We didn't re-sign Jacob DeGrom when we had the opportunity. And we're about to let go, what, a 50 home run guy, 120 RBI guy for, I mean, maybe he asked for $40 million. And I don't know what Freddie Freeman's on. Maybe he's on 30. But to be a forever Met, is that not worth maybe a couple extra bucks at the end of the day?
I think it is. And you have the owner that can certainly afford it. But now you have a president of baseball operations that's looking for younger guys, defensive guys, and might not see the value in Pete, especially if he has a down year.
I mean, if anything, he might have had a down year hitting-wise last year. But I think he improved as a first baseman in terms of picking the ball, in terms of catching it from the third base.
Oh, yeah. Forget last year. He's got the prove-it year right in front of him. He's got to do it again, and he's got to do it big. And if he does, they're not gonna let him walk. If he's got a 40-home-run season and drives in over 100 RBI and helps the Mets win games, the fans love him. They're not stupid. They're not going to move off of him. But it's going to be interested to see, it's going to be interesting to see what the market is for him.
Well, if he hits 265 and 50 home runs and Steve Cohen decides not to sign him, Well, he might have a couple of questions to answer at the end of the season.
Then you
thanks
gotta
for your time,
get
man. I appreciate it.
Thanks. You gotta get Juan Soto. If you don't get Pete, you gotta get both. Right? Who knows, man? I am so over talking about December. I'm so over talking about next offseason. Like, this offseason flew by, now it's dragging. This offseason I thought went quick. Now we're in slow motion. I need the baseball to start. The actual baseball.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.